Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello,
it's Running Commentary.
Hello there.
That's Paul Tonkinson.
Yeah, it's been... How many recordings has it been? Because it's been a while, but...
Yeah, I think it's only...
It's only maybe one.
In terms of episode, I think for the listeners, you haven't been gone very long.
Right, okay.
But I haven't seen you for ages.
It's been a while.
Certainly in terms of adventures.
A couple of weeks.
I've got so much to tell you, Stardust. That's what Mads Mikkelsen says in Rogue One. But you know what he does just straight after that?
What happens?
He dies.
Oh, dear. Well, there's no need for that.
Sorry, everyone.
So I've kind of missed all the... Because I went to Dubai and then went on holiday, I've missed all the heat.
Yeah, yeah.
But I sense it's been really quite hot.
It was crazy. Yeah. I was thinking of you in Dubai and kind of running and stuff when the 40-degree days came along. And the southeast and other places kind of went on fire.
Yeah, because it was hotter here than in Dubai.
Yeah, yeah.
But you can still feel it now. I mean, we had a bit of rain a couple of days ago, but at night...
Yeah, it's broken a bit, but it's still incredibly humid and hot in London.
There's no need for sheets, is there, at night?
No, that's right. And every night you think, oh, it's a bit better now, and you get into bed and sweat like a sweaty person.
It's incessant, certainly.
Here we are, going to go down onto the Parkland Walk, which, again, the listeners probably find very familiar, but I haven't been here for ages. I've missed it.
Yeah, I'm kind of... I'm still pretty jet-lagged. We're recording this on Wednesday. I got back on late on Sunday.
Yeah.
It's about 9 hours difference from Canada, but...
Yeah.
Is it when you go from west to east, it's harder or something?
I don't know.
I'm definitely finding it a bit trickier.
When you travel from east to west, you're basically there behind you, so when you get there, you've got time to catch up, and vice versa. When you come home, you're catching up with yourself.
Yeah, it's weird. It's a really... I'm sort of... Well, I woke up at 2 in the morning, didn't get back off till like 7 in the morning.
Yeah, and I woke up at 5 in the morning, but that was just because my next door neighbour chose that moment to put on a record louder than a rock concert.
That is so kind of her.
That's
so kind. Hashtag be kind.
Neighbours, next door is only a footstep away, you know? Just a friendly wave each morning. Shut up!
Do you not go crazy? Have you banged on the wall? Do you do that?
Yeah, it's a slightly...
Oh, is it a bit,
it's complicated, isn't it, when it's your neighbour? I reckon if it was someone 4 houses away even, or certainly if it was someone in the car, I'd just go out and say, what are you doing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's someone you've got to have a relationship with. Plus, my family hate it when I get angry. Yeah. I've really been trying to work on that, particularly since lockdown. Not that I had any lockdown rage incidents.
But what you mean trying not to...
Shout
kick off. Yeah, they don't like it.
Families don't like it. So it's less productive than you like to imagine in the moment.
Yeah.
So it's still hot, although, having said that, it's been trying to rain, hasn't it? I think since you got back, a little bit of rain and then a massive, very satisfying downpour yesterday. And guess where I was for the downpour?
Running?
Well, me and my wife were out for a run.
Yeah.
But then we stopped very observantly... as in observing the rules rather than looking at stuff, at Woodbury Wetlands.
Right.
Walked in.
Nice.
Had a tea, coffee.
The aptly named wetlands.
And then it poured with rain. And as a result of the rain, not through any rebellion, We ended up running there where you're not allowed to run.
Good for you.
Because you're running to get to the bus stop to get home.
Right.
And then as we came through that gateway bit, which is like a bridge, as people sheltering, it's like, we're not running to run. We're running because of the rain. And everyone went, that's fine. It's like, well, that shows how ridiculous it is. But
yeah, of course.
There we are. It's pretty special over there. It was great.
Yeah, still nice over there.
So, you were in Dubai.
I was in Dubai.
It was boiling hot. What happened? You're running. No, I've seen you since then.
Yeah. We got
that running done. So,
yeah.
Tell us about Canada first off.
Canada was really, just really good fun. I was there ostensibly for a wedding for my sister-in-law.
Yeah.
In Kelowna, which is a sort of winery area of Canada.
Yeah. Oh no! You had to go to the winery.
I'd like to be a bit more specific than that, but
you don't know, do you?
I don't really know. We arrived in Banff, which is incredibly beautiful.
Yeah, I see.
It's the most stunning place I think I've ever been to.
My wife went there long before I even met her, and she's talked about it a lot down the years. And then when I saw your picture of like the mountains up behind the town,
yeah,
I was like, is that what it looks like? And she was like, yeah, I told you. I was like, oh, I get it now.
It's incredible sense of... Just the scale of the beauty is just it just feels kind of crazy to be in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And there's bears.
Yeah.
You get to be excited because you might bump into a bear and the bear might eat you.
Yeah.
So that was good fun. So we bought some bear spray.
That international deadly animal thing does add a little bit of a thrill to life.
It certainly did. Yeah. We saw a couple saw a couple of chipmunks. That was about as scary as it got.
It's a bear.
Spraying the chipmunks with bear spray.
Little tangent that reminds me of something. Years ago, I was in Switzerland on a tour with a bunch of people. One of whom was someone I was quite close to, but she's a bit loopy.
Right.
And she was very scared of dogs. And we were walking down this flight of steps in Neuchâtel, very nice, posh place. And there was a gate to a garden, like a small bungalow with a beautiful garden, you know.
Yeah.
And the gate was open. And standing on the path was a tiny little sausage dog.
Oh, no.
Looking up
right.
at my friend. And she looked down at the dog and they locked eyes. And do you know what she said?
What did she say?
Oh, my God, it's loose. Like it was going to jump and bite her in the jugular.
A lovely little sausage dog. Not a dog person, evidently.
Please be my friend. Yeah. Oh my God, it's loose.
But it was
chipmunks, not bears.
Yeah, but it was quite a moment because they did say, you know, when I was going for a run in the morning, they said, don't stray away from the path because of the bears.
Yeah.
It's not something you hear very
real,
often, is it?
Yeah.
It's a real thing. So that was really good fun. Really beautiful.
All my bear knowledge comes from Bill Bryson's A Walk in the Woods.
Oh, yeah. And what was he? Well, we were sort of researching things to do when confronted with a bear.
Yeah.
Well, it's that old line, isn't it? That people say don't run away from the bear because the bear's going to catch you. It's like, you don't have to be faster than the bear. You just have to be faster than the people around you.
Yeah,
but that's your family, it is a bit problematic.
Yeah, particularly if you're quite the runner.
Yeah. You haven't been training, have you?
It's all like force majeure. Look at me, my injuries are better.
Yeah.
But yeah. The chipmunks have got me.
So,
you were running there. You were out running.
Yeah, I ran probably about 6 times in 10 days.
Yeah.
On holiday, which is good.
Yeah, excellent.
And I did the speech at the wedding.
Excellent.
Which kind of took over my day, really.
Yeah.
As it does, really, because the speech wasn't until 8 p.m.
Right.
And it was just, you know, it's a bit stressful, but...
How did it go?
Standing ovation. Should we take that? I'll take
it. Yeah.
It was, and I actually really enjoyed it, you know, just once you're up there, but just it's just the waiting, you know.
And it is, absolutely, it will kill your day, but on the other hand, it's one of those interesting things that as comedians, do you find when you do public speaking outside of comedy clubs, the amount of goodwill that's out there in the world sort of throws our whole careers into sharp relief, doesn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's that kind of thing of... Obviously, it's easy to... It's like you're at work, isn't it? When someone says to you, do a speech at my wedding.
Yep.
It's like you always agree, of course, because I've asked you.
Yeah.
But by the same token...
You're not at the party anymore.
That now becomes a work day.
Yeah.
So I'm sort
And also, with work days, we always think that a light work, only a few minutes or whatever, is the worst of both worlds.
Yeah.
Because you spend all day waiting for it.
Yeah, yeah, totally. So I was doing all that kind of pacing up and down.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, what are you worried about? Come on. You know, it's all this, but it's like, they just don't understand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's weird.
Did you tie one on afterwards? Did you let it go?
Yeah, I had a few drinks straight away. I mean, it was great, but it's... obviously, the standard isn't that high, so you can stand out.
Yeah. Well, that's true, isn't it? You've got some experience with this
stuff. Totally. Yeah, totally. It's like, and it's nice to, it's just nice to be able to show that, isn't it?
Because was it a big wedding? There were loads of people there.
There was about 100.
Yeah, that's a good
120 size. People. It was on a farm in Kelowna. The groom's family has a pumpkin farm.
Yeah.
So it was really wild and beautiful. There was like horses in an adjacent field.
I suppose everyone had to leave at midnight sharp.
Yeah. But it was... the horses just made it really... The whole thing was incredibly beautiful.
You're absolutely sure the horses weren't bears?
Yeah. Well, it was... at one stage, one of the horses sort of bolted into the area where all the humans were. So there's a bit of... sort of but causing a bit of panic
during your speech.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that a bit of barracking at the back?
Yeah, yeah. But you've good fun.
Excellent.
Yeah, and
that was at the heart of a nice big trip out there.
Yeah, that was it was sort of a holiday of 2 hours, really. That was the end of the that was right in the middle. Then we went to Vancouver.
Just passing someone eating blackberries off the bramble there.
That's
a very mid to late August moment, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Yeah, we went to Vancouver, which is beautiful. Then we went to Victoria, where my sister-in-law Emily lives, which is all... It's just very beautiful, Canada.
Yeah.
And then me and Rachel went on a boat to Seattle for the last 2 days.
Yeah.
So Atul, the whole thing was great.
Atul is a friend of yours, right?
Yeah. And
cooking here with the wordplay. Because Seattle's a nice place, and it's very, very far from here.
Yeah.
Because it's Pacific Coast, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was... because when you're on holiday and you change locations, it feels longer, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's true.
So it's sort of... by the time I got back, it was like, wow, I've only been away 11, 12 days, but it felt forever.
Excellent.
Yeah, so it was all in all, fantastic holiday.
Excellent.
And you went to the lakes.
Yeah, that was just part of it, really. I mean...
Yeah, you've been going to all sorts of places.
Well, what you just...
And you went to Edinburgh and...
Exactly. First thing I did was that 10K we were talking about.
Oh,
remember
that? What was that, a run-through event?
Yeah, in Hyde Park.
Right.
Really nice.
Yeah.
It was a great 10K for a regular at Highbury Fields, because it had a very slight uphill, downhill on the loop.
Right.
Which added dynamism without really taking away from pace and flatness, you know? It was an incline rather than a hill.
And was it a two-lapper?
Four laps.
All right. Oh, okay.
And you could do 5K or 10K, so...
Right.
It was a two-lap park run over four laps. And starting at the bandstand in Hyde Park and going up along Park Lane, across the parched grass at the top.
Nice location. Nice to be in the middle of town.
Lovely. Bit of run along next to Serpentine. Again, really nice. We've said it before, but it always bears repeating. Run through.
They know how to run an
event.
They've
got that balance. They make it look easy, and sometimes other people do it too. It's very race to the stones. But just that sense of everything being sorted out, running smoothly, without any rigidity.
Right.
Just really chill.
No one barking at you.
No one barking at you. No one telling you off. No one.
Everyone's out to the left.
No getting to places any earlier than you need to be there, you know.
Yeah.
It just...
They know what they're doing.
There's a kind of softness to it, which is really nice. But, all power to them. Brilliant. I was pleased with the result. I was on the slow side in my long game of 10Ks, but when it comes down to it, I was really coming up against the... long recovery from...
That's what I thought.
From the ultra, you know?
I did... When we were chatting about possible times and stuff, I did say...
It was a question of we'll see what we can do, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I got that. And when I was there, I think I really came up against it. I, the I think I'd already said to you, my knee was playing up that week.
Right.
And it was doing that thing. It wasn't completely disappearing from under me, but it was kind of going very painful and like limping through it until it yeah. settled down, you know. So something quite worrying about that.
Absolutely, yeah.
I went out and started the 10K and went off at a bit of a lick, and I was thinking, oh, just wasn't feeling it, do you know what I mean? I was thinking, oh, this is tough. And I just was really stubborn, really bullish.
Yeah.
So I set off at a good pace.
Really fast.
And then the knee...
I can't trust my own knee, so
yeah,
I'll just
knee
test it.
Twanging.
Yeah.
So I ran through that.
Right.
Knocked it back into
Hopping
shape.
Hopping away, limping.
Started to feel really sick in a very worrying way. Like basically all the alarms in my body were going, bit, bit, bit.
Bail.
I ignored all of them. Yeah. And, you know, which again... On paper, you think that ability to override all kind of messages from the central governors, well, it can be useful.
It can.
But sometimes it's really
not wise.
It can
be quite
wise.
Damaging, yeah.
Anyway, that's what I felt. I did it. I pressed on with the 10K. I was very much happy with how steady my pace was, really. Not that it was fast, but that I
just
ran through that early resistance.
Right.
And maintained for the four laps and came in... I can't remember what it was, about 45 minutes anyway.
Yeah. You managed to ignore your own body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And since then I've been more, you know, I've accepted that I'm in a little bit of a state and trying to, you know, work through it, but keep on running, you know. Cause
what's been happening with your knee then?
Well, my knee.
I noticed you mentioning it a couple of times on the socials. Or
Yeah. It's better since then. I feel like the running through it has been rewarded with a shift in the reliability of the knee. But whether I'm making it better is another question. I think it is getting better.
Right.
But basically, at the moment, it feels best when I run. Like, I can't feel it at all now, and it's really nice.
Oh, well, that's good.
And it's certainly that problem of it kind of letting me down when I'm running has gone. But in day-to-day life, I'm noticing it. I can't bend it very far.
Right.
So two things are, if I want to do the kind of stretches where you pull your foot up against the back of your leg, can't do it.
Right.
And if I sit down for a long period of time with a full 90 degree, when I stand up, it doesn't like it. And sometimes it snaps like that and goes, like that.
Oh, okay.
And of course, I was walking in the mountains last week and it complained a few times up there as well. So
the knee's been told what it has to do.
It's got to. I'm respecting
told,
it,
mate.
And it's got to heal.
Yeah,
but it's got to heal through a steady running schedule.
A vigorous. Well, it's nice that it's not hurting when you're running.
Yeah, and I think
you just have to run all the time.
And be running.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think also it's telling how, at the moment, I can really see the difference. In fact, say at the moment, I think all year long, really, there's this sense of abiding running fitness, which enables me to run at kind of
come what
cruising pace, you know, whatever the weather, no matter how long I've been running or what kind of illnesses and injuries beset me, I can just toddle along.
Yeah.
But as soon as I run fast, then everything goes off, just absolutely resistant.
Right.
I feel like I'm... That 10K just really knocked me back, and I find runs quite tough at the moment.
What, since then?
Not since that 10K, but since the Race to the Stones.
Right.
But
you really ran hard those 2 days, didn't you? Steady, hard, you got the most out of the experience. Because it's weird, because for me it sort of, it left me a little bit stronger, because... It was the furthest I'd run for ages, and
kind of
it was sort of like, as I think we mentioned before, I could reframe it as a training run.
Yeah, and a long walk had the same shape as a training run.
Yeah, but you got it. You did the event.
Yeah, and I had proper denial.
It's tiring.
I was getting to the end, and people are like, "Aren't you tired?" And I'm like, "What? No, fine."
You know,
and I believed it and felt that way for days afterwards.
Right.
So that it's like a stone going into a deep pond. The sense that it was actually challenging and impactful as a slow release over time. I mean, it's a while ago now. We're talking about 5 weeks ago. But equally, I think I am recovering, and I think I'm being more realistic about that as well.
Yeah.
But I'm still running, you know, because I want to be. So that was the 10K, and it was a, I mean, it's a bit of a wake-up call.
Yeah, I mean, it takes you at least 3-4 weeks to start running normally post-marathon, doesn't it?
So yeah, yeah. And, but sometimes, like you say, if something's kind of within your power, it can end up feeling like a training run, you know?
Yeah.
Like a, I remember doing a marathon years ago and going off to do a half marathon a few weeks afterwards, 3 or 4 weeks afterwards.
Right.
Just like the best ever half marathon.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I was so fit for it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You kind of hadn't crossed my mind that the marathon could leave me that way if I recovered right, you know? Anyway, that's not how I feel right now.
No.
But I went off to Edinburgh to bed in these shows I was directing.
Fun times?
Really, it was so great. I was so...
good.
It made me want to be there doing a show, which is kind of laughable. Because, no, I don't think I want to do that. Yeah, that's an expensive month spiritually and financially.
What was the kind of Atmos reading from the ground?
Very nice, very exciting. Felt classic, felt like a real Edinburgh Festival Fringe.
Right.
Everything going on, everything in place. It was perfect running with Mark, just kind of caught the moment, you know. The only thing is, didn't feel like audiences were huge. They weren't tiny, but it felt like when people got a fair amount in, they'd got everyone that was available, you know what I mean?
What, it felt there was less people generally up there?
Just a maximum amount of people to come to the shows. Having said that, I left very early on, so maybe that picked up, I don't know. But I forgot my running shoes.
Oh dear.
Yeah, what a fool.
Oh dear.
So when I got there...
Oh, Mr. Deering.
I had to go straight to the shop and buy some new ones.
Is this what we're seeing now?
That's what I'm wearing.
And what kind of shoes are they?
They're Asics.
Asics, yeah.
And I love, as you know, I absolutely love my Nike Pegasus 36s or Pegasus any numbers. And that's what I wanted. And the guy in the shop said, these are quite like those, but they're really springy. And I jumped and did it. I felt very brave.
Yeah.
And very non-tight.
Yeah.
But I jumped in.
Took a leap.
And I thought, good, if they're good, I'll just keep them for my next marathon or something to, you know, still have their bounce then.
Right.
Anyway, so I wore them. I did a couple of runs. I was up there. I remember Mark and I also did a lovely cruise along the Water of Leith over by the New Town. Saw a kingfisher. And the shoes are great, and they're so springy. And with my knee...
Good for your knee.
Since because then I went off to Lake District and wore the excellent Nike trail shoes I got for Race the Stones. And I came home, my knee's complaining so much. I wore these because they're virtually orthopedic. They're so soft.
Nice.
It's just really... You know, you were talking about being on soft surfaces today.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm on a bouncy castle when I'm on the pavement in these.
That's right. Yeah, that's so, what you want.
So I'm wearing them. I'm wearing them out, Paul.
Yeah, I see
I've
that.
I've got three pairs of running shoes in play, and I'm already thinking I'll need new ones in October. I've become one of you running shoe owners. I've become one of you at last.
You'll be... I'm still persevering with these. Don't even know the name of these, but they've still got a bit of bounce in them.
Yeah.
And so you did a bit of running in Edinburgh, and since then, I mean, I suppose it's not that long ago, is it?
No, but it was, what did they do? I did, that was very nice, two runs, and I was only up there for a few days, so that was excellent. What a lovely, great, Edinburgh's such a good place to run. And I know cities often tend to be, and we know Edinburgh's beautiful, but it's so much more to it than running around the meadows or up and down the mountain, you know. There's a couple of brilliantly engineered waterways and old railways and stuff.
And how was friend of the show, Mark Watson?
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
He was...
I mean, he can go up and just sell the run out.
That's right. I think his show's off and he's doing extra shows. And I think he's directed a bunch of shows or had other involvement in other people's shows.
Yes. Which is
really, so he's...
He's like promoting...
a lot of pies.
Yeah.
And... really pushing shows as well, like finding other people's shows, finding free tickets for shows, and then using his platform to say, go to this show today, you know, which is
he's one of the good guys up there, isn't he?
Yeah, that's right. He really, and very, of course, very diffident about all that, you know. I mean, the fact that he found time to run with me, this was like during previews, and it was right at the beginning of the festival, so if he's in any way involved in half a dozen shows. He's got things to do, you know.
Yes.
But again, that's what we're talking about. It's always time for a run, particularly in Edinburgh, because it does you so much good.
And sorry to go back on a podcast you've already done. Is he doing a lot of running at the moment? Or where's he at with it?
Yeah, he's doing... He's sort of...
Recreationally?
Well, he was like saying, oh, not so much as when I... Because I took him right back to find out about the Berlin Marathon and stuff, which is last time we saw him.
Yeah.
But he's got the Great North Run coming up.
Oh, okay.
So we were just talking about how that feels like a nice... It's a good line to,
yes,
to work towards, you know. And I'm in a similar position with September half marathons. But let's come back to that.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Yeah, so came back from Edinburgh and almost immediately went to Lake District.
Which looked great, because, you know, that was me thinking, you know, Banff, Banff, Banff.
Yeah.
Which is incredible.
Yeah.
And then you look at your photos from the Lake District. Not dissimilar, are they?
Well, it's,
I mean, the lakes,
isn't
the
it?
Lakes is amazing, yeah.
That's it. I do think... Yeah.
Underrated, I think.
I think
maybe.
So. It's amazing how few people... still have been there, and just I think some people genuinely, in my experience, don't know that there are mountains in England.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, it's great. I think that there's something about modern life, which is that people so much more, and this is absolutely fair enough. Which way? This way? This way.
Yeah, yeah.
We've just come into Highgate Wood, by the way. I think people go, there's so much more activity on the lakes in the Lake District.
Yeah.
It's partly because the weather's absolutely lovely. I also think it's the misleading name. I always think, is it a trip to the mountains or, you know, what fells are we going to go up? But these days, the amount of people paddleboarding and boating and stuff is just exponentially huge compared to years ago.
Yeah.
But of course, as I say, great, good, A, good on them. B, the weather's really nice. And C, we were part of that because of all the wild swimming.
Nice.
Everybody does. The great thing for us... I mean, it's a lovely place we go to, this hotel, Seatoll House. Ah.
What was that?
Oh, someone's jacket and in
jacket and
possible wallet.
Possible wallet.
They might have just popped into the bushes.
Yeah, maybe.
Let's hope so for their sake.
Yeah. For risk that.
Yeah, it's a lovely hotel. It's got the perfect balance of being a pucker trip and being really well looked after. And, you know, everything you want. They're so good with all our multifarious food needs and stuff. But equally, it is a mountain goer's place where they'll do your packed lunch and you don't, you
That's
know,
great. So
there's a boot room.
So it was long walks.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and the kids, of course, being teenagers and with experience of this kind of thing, you know, we had good legs for the mountains and it was great. I went out at dawn on the first morning and did the pre-breakfast run up the valley.
Good for you.
Just fantastic. But then I was doing it every day last time I was there. And I think it's because that was so absolutely necessary for my kind of mental health coming out of lockdown. This time I did it the first day. And I thought, yep, did
done
that.
It. Yeah. It's great to be. You'll be used to this, but normally when we go on holiday, we go on holiday with loads of people, the kids' mates and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was just the family. It's just so nice to be away with just the family, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And just getting to all those stupid little jokes and long chats and kind of...
Yeah, that's right.
All that solid family stuff, you
know? Yeah, it's really... It's the next easiest thing to being on your own kind of thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like being on your own without that solitude. So, yeah, we had a massive, lovely long... We also... It's really... dull to talk about. We've really engineered a couple of excellent walks where you go a very long way without doing that much climbing.
Right.
Just climbing steadily, steadily all day long.
Okay.
And then you look around, you're like, oh, right, now we're at
we're
the top
here.
Of the mountain.
Yeah.
And we broke the first walk with my wife and daughter swam in a high tarn, a Salmon Starhead tarn, just with the amphitheatre of the whole Scarfell group behind them. Is an amazing thing. Came down to the bottom and we thought, I hope that lovely crystal pool down the bottom won't be too busy with other people swimming. And what it was busy with other people with their feet in it.
Right. Okay.
And my wife and daughter got into their swimming costumes, went push straight in. It's like, what?
Nice.
And they're such good acclimatised wild swimmers, because I thought I might go in myself, and I put my feet in. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
It was so
incredible,
cold.
Isn't it?
And they were like, it's really nice.
Yeah.
And that's right, they'd already swum. So by the end of the first day, they'd swum in lakes and rivers, or tarns and rivers, three times, because they swam the first evening.
How bracing.
Brilliant.
What a great day to have.
And then, yeah, we carried on like that, and it was really great. I always come back from there thinking, what to do with this, you know, because...
Because you live it so much.
Yeah, and I don't want to move there. There's no life for me there.
Yeah.
Or life for us there. And on the other hand, there's more to it than just being a nice holiday.
Yeah.
There's something so wonderful about being... running in the tops and...
It is.
Being near all that sky and water. But just aware of the whole ecosystem and the thing. You know, we're just tourists.
Yeah.
They're putting our money in the pot and come away again so someone else can have a go. But it was just...
But like, it's that sort of feeling of like, you go away on holiday and you're surrounded by all this glorious nature.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. You think, is this... What would it be like to... embed this into my daily life? What effect would that have on me? Because obviously I'm crazy about it. Is it just because it's a massive contrast? There's probably a bit of that, but also if you're there every day, you just don't know, do you? You don't know how that would affect you.
Yeah, that's
but
right.
It'd be an interesting experiment, wouldn't it?
It certainly would.
You know, to chip off for a year or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or say, right, I'm going to go there and write a book or whatever it might
be. Create some space to be there. I mean,
the people staying at the hotel were going to see a show in the theatre by the lake in Keswick.
Right.
And I used to do comedy there. I looked at the programme, I don't see any comedians on there anymore. But, I mean, all that is the occasional tour date, but it's a good kind of thing. Let's bring it back to sort of worky thoughts. You know, sometimes you think it'd be nice to try and take running-related comedy to those kind of theatres in places where you don't get stand-up, but you do get real individuals coming to talk about outdoor activities.
Yes,
the theatre in Inverness, same kind of thing. But, really any excuse to get out there, up there.
Of course, yeah.
It was Michelle, our mate Michelle, who's still, I think, on the bench running-wise, was paddleboarding up Windermere at the weekend.
Oh, I saw that, yeah. They're trying to rope... me, us, everyone, into the Eiger Trail, aren't they?
Yeah.
That was a movement.
That's a suggestion.
This Sunday, I don't know whether a bit of wine had been had. I mean, I feel up for more adventures. It's whether it fits, whether my body holds up. I want to do something.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to make a decision fairly soon on... an ultra in the next 6 months for the book.
Yeah, yeah.
I really don't know whether I can be... Can I use the word asked to do the Marathon de Sable?
Well, I think when it comes
to just to just burn myself in the heat of a desert.
Whatever you feel, you know, whatever the technical story is, for me, I think the most important thing to remember, and we know that this is true every day, but you saw it most clearly on that first day. So you're talking about the why.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to...
You need to know what you're
You would not have got... Never mind my Race to the Stones versus your Race to the Stones. You would never have got your sub-3 marathon if the why of it hadn't run to the very core of
you. Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. It's that kind of... If you've got the why, then you can withstand any how, can't you?
Exactly.
You'll do the training, you'll do the race.
Exactly. And I, you know, I made light, not just talking about it, but I made light to myself about the sense of the Race of the Stones as a pilgrimage, a quest.
Yeah.
But I feel that now.
But it did have that.
Yeah, I look at other events and think, well, I suppose I might do that if I could think of a reason why I would.
Yes, yes,
you know,
certainly.
But just because it exists is not, it would not
That's the thing,
there.
Yeah. It's sort of... It's a why beyond it'll be a laugh sort yeah. of thing.
I think you need that once you get above a certain distance.
I think so, yeah.
And maybe below as well. I mean, it's easy to underestimate marathons and then get broken on the wheel of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's my... I mean, apart from... At the moment, I'm very much... I'm toying with the idea, and this is a wider thing. Oh, look at the... Sorry, the sun just came out as we go under the...
Woo.
Dappled leaves of Highgate
it's
Wood. Wow, that was
it's
gorgeous.
Beautiful.
It's like a golden
it's
light
so
going on.
It's so beautiful here.
There he is.
Woo!
Waiting and wooing.
Oh.
But, yeah, we talked about, I can't remember the comedy phrase, but the last time we were talking about the future and mature
yes.
something, whatever it was. I don't know what 2023 is really going to be for me. There's all kinds of things that it might be, but it's almost worryingly movable feast at the moment.
Well, it's
and I'm enjoying. I'm trying to embrace that journey to resolution. And conversely, this year it's like a ladder of, you know, I've got work, I've got adventures,
yeah,
I've got my birthday.
Yes,
it's already been an incredibly exciting year full of adventures. So I've got 4 more months of exciting road laid out ahead of me, and can't be on that. I'm just currently trying to feel around, circle everything and see what works, you know?
It's that sort of... I mean, it's that what is running to you and what do you want to give it when you're not going to get any faster?
Yeah.
That's one argument.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's also, you know, it gets... You've got to do a lot more work around running to keep running, haven't you,
yes.
as well as you get older?
Yeah.
Well, some of us do. Some don't. But an awful lot of us... Should we do another lap?
Yeah, okay? That's lovely.
So... And then... But running through it, you've always got that thing of... Running surprisingly...
A refusal.
Yeah. You got a dog stop there.
That was brilliant.
That was like me doing race. That's like me doing Race to the Stones. Just put my ass on the floor and said, I'm not going to
do it. I won't do it. We're just coming around the corner in Highgate Road, and this woman ran past. You looked like an advert for running. She looked great. Just coming down the hill to the corner gate with her dog, and then the dog stopped.
Yeah.
He stopped and sat down.
Yeah, that's it.
She was like, boing.
Not going any further. It's amazing. Amazingly low centre of gravity to be able to do this. It's the same with babies. When,
yeah.
You know, when they arc their back and you can't straighten it out when yeah. you try to put them in their cot or something.
Yeah.
They're just not doing it. Yeah, I was just saying that running through it, you've got that... Running is surprisingly pleasurable. As if on cue, we've got a guy there must have been, what, about 70?
Yeah,
just
yeah.
going for a little
great.
Run in the
really
heat
steady, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It constantly... To be... I'm not particularly fit at the moment, but we're going to run for about... An hour and 10 or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And feel okay at the end of it, and you've run more.
Yeah.
Even though your knees...
Yeah, and I'm not fit enough for it. I'm just
constantly giving away.
Stubborn and stupid, yeah.
Yeah, constantly
yeah.
giving away.
I've only crawled some of it, Paul.
But that's
back up again.
But that's quite a pleasurable state to be in, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, and it's the old thing, you know, like everything, like life, you think of running being a constant, but it's the only way it can be... perennial part of your life is by shifting and changing to fit
yes.
where you're at.
As you change, yeah.
Yeah, and that's much more complicated and three-dimensional than just getting older.
Yeah, but it's that sort of thing of, you know, when I was going for like sub-3 marathon, it was very much tied in with my identity at the
yeah,
time.
Yeah,
of like, I wanted to do it, I just wanted to feel that and do
yeah.
it and...
Coming it, back to something that was defining for you.
Yeah, when
once
I was a
you
kid,
reached kind of maturity.
Yeah, and now you sort of, it's embracing that almost post-competitive mindset.
Yeah.
And working out what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and ultras, there seem to be sort of competitive but non-competitive simultaneously.
Yeah,
they?
Yeah. Well, they're great because it's a totally different very mindset, set up for it? Competing with yourself.
Yeah.
Which is what you always want to be doing.
But it's not as, you're not sprinting to the line like you might do in a park run or
no,
whatever.
Exactly.
Which ironically is not even deemed a race. But it's something to do with the distance, doesn't it? Totally yeah, yeah. Changes your mindset.
I think the thing with parkrun, I was talking about it in my book, is that it's, you know, we sort of laugh about race is not a race, is that the beauty of parkrun is it's whatever you want it to be.
Yeah.
Which whisper it means, and this is the bit people get quiet about, because it puts people off, is that it is a race if you want it to be.
Of course, yeah.
But as long as we realise that the super fast people who are racing each other, or the slower people who are racing each other, are exactly equal with the people who are walking or walk running or whatever you want it to be, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And that's why the, you know, racing for the finish line is part of that. Because
absolutely.
It would be just as exclusive if it was only for people who strolled. You know what I mean? It's,
it's
democratic and that's what's great.
But the ultra thing is more of a sort of like participating in this journey from A to B, in whatever sort of way you want to do it, and food
and
rest,
like a rat sprinting across the trail. That's what we just saw.
But food and all that are an integral part of it, as opposed to like some extra thing. It's all part of this sort of holistic.
No, that's absolutely
journey,
right. It's like you said that even up to including distance of a marathon, when you set off on that run, you can go into a bubble, and that's not just psychological. That's a physical thing you can do. You know, go into this gear where your body can only consume liquids, and you can maintain an incredible pace as long as you don't think about it too much, don't have too many physical or mental distractions. But once you get up into the ultra zone, then what that means is for that period that you're running it, that's your life.
Yeah.
You've got to be you. You've got to stop.
You're living on
you've
the
got
run.
To sleep.
Yes.
Eat.
Yeah, yeah. It's fascinating. I find it fascinating.
It's Forrest Gump, isn't it?
Yeah.
When I was hungry, I ate.
Yeah, absolutely.
When I was tired, I slept.
Absolutely.
When I got
and I keep
to
thinking,
my belly, I stopped.
I keep thinking of all those people. Sometimes when I was with you, but other times when I was in that ridiculously fast section between, you know, 10 and 22 kilometres.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The bit where we'd say goodbye to each other, but you were still going deludedly fast.
Yeah, yeah, just crazy in this choo-choo train of idiots. I constantly think of the people who stepped aside and looked at us with this sort of benign expression, as if to say, behold, the idiots.
Yeah,
do you know what
I mean?
Sort of like, that sense of pace, you know.
Yeah.
Pace, non-pace, just whatever it is, just whatever it is to cover that distance.
And then that little boy there represents you later on in the day.
Yeah. Yeah, it was...
Now, I was thinking a couple of things about it that come back to me is, one, coming down off Barbary Castle with less than 2 kilometres to go. No, not less than 2 kilometres to go. Isn't that funny that I would think of it that way? With a little over 10 kilometres to go.
Right.
And someone said, oh, look at you running. Still running.
Yeah.
It's running downhill quite quickly. It's downhill, right?
Yeah.
And, I mean, don't get me wrong, I slowed down once I got to the flat, but I kept running. Anyway, look at you still running. Oh, wow. And I was like, get there quicker if you run.
Yeah.
And I really meant it. It's such a basic mantra, but that was what I was telling myself.
Yeah.
You get there quicker if you run.
Yeah.
And of course, the running, it means that to achieve that, you have to allow yourself to run, obviously, to run as slowly as you like.
Yeah.
You're still going to get there, Morning Magpie, quicker if you run. And then when we were walking in the lakes, I was talking to my daughter about the fact that on that first day, I realised, I pointed out to myself that when you walk and then run, that you start building up the starting running again is an awful thing.
Right.
And I was saying, it's always fine, you know.
Yes.
You've got that in you. You can always start running again. And since I've done it, I can't remember what the context was we were talking about, but I just realised that that is, that's a really... And just a new way of phrasing a lifelong thing that I've always sought out that I believe in, which is what Philippe Ngolier called the little jump. you know?
Yes.
That if in performance...
A little shift in state.
A little shift in state, just yeah. something. You know, it goes right down to the comedy cliche of giving someone who is hysterical a slap round the chops. You know, it's anything that just resets you. The power of a reset is A, immense, and B, always available. It's yeah. always available. Talking in Edinburgh about going in, doing an hour in Edinburgh, particularly if it's stressful, you know, it's early on in the festival, you've got your new show, there might be tech worries, you might have a reviewer in, you know. And sometimes all these acts, brilliant acts, they'll go on stage and hit the ground running, define the show, meet the audience, use their energy to have a great show. But sometimes you come on all stressed.
Yeah.
Or something weird happens in the first 2 minutes and it's all off.
Yes.
You can always
change.
Reset. You can always change it up. You can always hit the stage that first time.
I'm reminded of that scene in The Producers with Zero Mostel and...
Gene Wilder?
Yeah, Gene Wilder, when he takes his blanket and he goes, I'm anxious, and then he slaps him, he goes, I'm in pain, and then he throws water and goes, I'm wet, and I'm in pain. And I'm, it's such a funny, that's constantly changing state,
yeah,
isn't
yeah,
it?
Like redefining the scenario.
It's such a funny scene, that the first 50 minutes of that movie.
Yeah.
Just peerless. So you had a laugh in Lakes. Did you do much? Can we talk about the boozing?
Oh, have you...
Is there much boozing?
I'm drinking too much.
Are you really?
It's very hard not to drink every
day. Oh, Rob.
I really connect...
Oh, the disappointment.
Really connect drinking with the warm weather. Just, you know, sand and lager just really go together. And it's been weeks. Sometimes I was gigging at the weekend and I didn't drink then. I am... you know, the one most powerful... weapon I have against it when I'm going, oh, go on then, of an evening, is that I'm really strict about the
8 o'clock.
16:08, so I stop after dinner.
That's amazing.
The trouble is that does make it, it makes it easy to drink before then.
Right.
You know, because I'm like, oh, all I had was.
Are you lining up the shots at like 10 to 8 as the clock ticks down?
No, it's a few pints of
slammers.
It's a few pints of lager between 6 and 9 in the evening.
Yeah.
And as such, you know, it's the very definition of moderation.
Yeah.
But it's not really moderate enough, is it? I mean, like I say, I'm not... My mileage isn't that high. I'm not running that hard.
You need a rest.
I'm doing some holiday eating.
Yeah,
but I'm worried apart from anything else that I'm putting on a bit of weight, which in turn is no good for a bad knee.
Yes. I know what you mean, but you've been... You ran a lot during lockdown. You've run a lot coming out of it.
Yeah.
You've done your marathons. You've done your thing. Just a little bit.
I'll be better. I'll be more disciplined about drinking again soon enough. I know it. I just need to be honest with myself at the moment.
Yeah.
It's definitely also true to say that I'm drinking a bit too much.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah.
So, a couple of things.
Go on, then.
You made me think I've wanted to report back on. Quietly, you know, I love running, listening to music, but quietly it's been noted that sometimes, particularly when I manage to get out running at dawn, I will listen to the world.
Oh, okay.
And the birds singing.
Oh,
did that on the second day of the Race of Stones, and I did it on that first day in the Lake District.
Oh.
And I get that it's a good thing. I've got to stop my stones just going in the back of my sock. But
oh,
you know what?
This is an interesting development.
It isn't.
Is it not?
No, for the end of the story. Because as I've realised again in the past, and describe, and this is very important for anyone who thinks, oh, good, Rob's a proper runner now.
Oh, no.
No, but people do. They do.
Right.
They come at me with it. And it's that whether I'm listening to music or not, there's going to be a song going round and round in my head.
Right.
When I didn't listen to music that morning at the Race of Stones, I basically listened to two or three of the songs from the day before.
Okay.
Going round and round in my head. And when I was in Borrowdale, you know, I sort of walked up this steep slope.
Yeah, well, you can
got,
walk through it here,
got onto the, oh yeah, good. Got onto the Allerdale Ramble.
Yeah.
And then the sun started coming up. I was like, wow, it's so beautiful. I'm glad I'm not listening to music. I can hear the birds singing. And then
the
my
sun
brain
is
said,
shining.
Yeah, my brain basically said, yeah, but piss in the valley, piss in the city, piss in the soul, yeah. And that was me for 36 hours. Piss in the valley. Oh, it's a nightmare. There's no peace in the valley for my ears. Good Lord. So I had to play it on the other, on the Running Chokes radio hour. So if anyone's listened to that and had that song stuck in their head, I can only apologise. Thanks for your help with it.
Yeah, I would never cast aspersions as to someone's proper running ship credentials as to whether or not they listen to music or not. It's just not something I do, but if anything, I've thought about it since the Race to the Stones, as maybe it would help for the longer.
Well, maybe you should. You know what's great? Podcasts.
Yeah.
But people do, you know.
Yeah,
I know. The only thing is, running aside, my brain, it's a relationship with music. You know, it's basically it's a permanently turned on radio, and using, same as my son, we use headphones to so that we can control the playlist.
Yeah.
That's how it works. And then the wider effect of that is that it doesn't put you up in your head. It damps down the uncontrollable thoughts in your head so that you can be in the world.
That's the
but
thing.
But of course, that's not everybody's brain.
That's the thing about it. So it's like, if you've got a strong why, you're okay. But if you haven't, and then you hit a dark moment, things can just unravel very quickly.
Yeah.
So suddenly, when I was doing Race to the Stones, RTTS,
Hashtag RTTS.
Yeah. And once I suddenly decided...
Someone so reasonably said once since, what is RTTS?
Yeah.
Oh, good point. Sorry, go on.
Well, now once it went, it went.
Yeah.
Once I was in that dark place, just the whole thing was just like... What am I doing here?
Yeah, it's because it's a bubble, isn't it? It's artificial.
I just can't wait to get home.
I've had that feeling.
You know, it's just...
I had that in the New York Marathon. It's like, why don't I just walk off the track?
What have I done?
Get on the subway and go back to London.
Yeah, absolutely. That's how I felt. Just couldn't wait to ring my wife and tell her to come and get me. You know, and that's lack of training, fitness, motivation, and we come back to the why, isn't it? You know.
Yeah. It's like if you're trying to draw it as a metaphor, it feels like we're talking about the strength of the rail you're on.
Yeah.
You know, I was on a rail which basically was strong enough to enable me to ignore all doubts and fears, or rather process them and do it the meditative way.
Yeah.
Allow, release, let go.
Yeah.
And my solid iron rail of purpose went, took me to the end.
And it was also...
And you were like, there's no rail.
It was
there isn't even a rail here.
It was also, to extend the metaphor, you were, your rail was on the tracks of months of solid training.
Yeah.
It was held by something.
Yeah.
But for me, it was like, it's not an unhappy moment to realise you want to go home.
Yeah.
But it's
clarity. You can't...
Yeah. But it's hard work when you know, 10 miles away from the finish and it's really, really hot.
Yeah.
And you're walking 3 miles an hour, you don't get any water.
Yeah.
It's just like, wow, it's a bit stupid.
We're a long way from home.
Yeah.
Going home where lovers roam. On our way home. See, there's always a song in there.
Yeah.
I went to, as soon as we got back from the lakes, I went to Nottingham for gigs.
What's the glee?
Yes.
Go on, then.
And do you know what? It was really great. I'll tell you several reasons why it was so good. One, it's the next one, isn't it? It was so hot. And
right.
They were in this big air-conditioned room.
Oh, they were in the big room?
Yeah, in the big room. Because the heat, which is wonderful.
Nice.
It meant that everyone, comedians, audience, even venue staff, were all much happier to be
just
there
a bit
than
more comfortable
anywhere else.
Yeah.
And two, that big room's great.
Yeah.
I think that that the Nottingham Glee should always use that room. It's a great room for comedy.
So it works.
I don't know what their technical reasons are, but I know they've got a smaller room, and I'm sure in principle they think, well, if our audience numbers come in under the capacity of the smaller room, we should play the smaller room.
Right.
But in practice, I just think there's a joy in that bigger room that they should tap into more often.
So it worked better. You felt it worked better.
Yeah, and the audiences were, I mean, they were lovely, but they weren't enormous.
Right.
And great Bill, great other acts.
Who else was on?
There's a new act called Michael Mayer I hadn't seen before. He was really good. Ben van der Velde, Comprey, Anthony J. Brown in the middle. Terrible, another Bill made up of four white male comedians, but You know, what can you do?
And it's just numbers.
It was exactly, and it was very in performance, very diverse. Really nice. Just a complete change of rhythm between all four of us.
Right.
And it was lovely to. I mean, it's the funniest thing about it, going back to what we were saying about, could I live here when you go to a beautiful place, is I just had really good gigs because I've been on holiday for a week.
Yeah.
That's what you need before every weekend of gigs, is to go on holiday for a week.
Yes, yeah.
Is there anything wrong with this model?
Nice and refreshed. Yeah. Yeah.
And just, I mean, it was just the very definition of loosey-goosey, but just in the best way. Years, plenty of experience in my legs, so yeah. I didn't feel lost or have any doubt about what I was going to say.
Right.
And yet the whole thing felt fresh and surprising, you know?
Loosey-goosey, but also probably a bit more experienced and capable of being loosey-goosey than anyone else on the gig as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing how far into one's comedy career it can be that you take a week off, and when you get back on stage, you think, what is this? There's no rail. There's no rail here. But I think that we're past that now.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And that's the luxury of it, you know? It was like the whole little jump of the thing was just built in.
Right.
And also I'm kind of... it's interesting talking about this in parallel with like the Race of the Stones and stuff, you know. I feel like going back to comedy in 2022, my set has changed. You always feel guilty that we haven't rewritten our stuff from the ground up and all that kind of stuff. But I am doing slightly different stuff. I have written new jokes recently. And
you change.
As time goes on, it beds in a little bit. And I start. Yeah. I felt like I was coming back to me 2022. On stage at the Glee.
Yeah.
And the audience is...
You're changing ways that you're not really aware of, don't you, when you gig a lot. Yeah.
So that felt like a real treat. And then I ran down to Beeston Parkrun with regular... Apology, there's... Of all places, Nottingham's the one where people specifically say, why haven't you done this parkrun or that parkrun? But years ago, I developed a habit of running off along the canal to Beeston, and it's a really nice run, not just the park run but the run to it, you know.
Right.
And that was a good one to do, and as I say, my knee, just in general, and after the lakes and stuff, I was like in a sleeping bag in the heat, pigeons outside the window giving it the oh my god, shut up. And do you know what? Listening to this podcast, do you know what I think Rob Deering needs?
A holiday.
Earplugs. All right. but I thought that I was saying to myself, as I kind of do at the moment, listen, you don't have to sprint the parkrun. You just take it easy, you know, find somewhere, have a chat.
Yeah.
Do it.
Just solid it.
Yeah, just get around. But I have yet to act on that permission slip. I hit the countdown goes.
And
I press
off.
Play on my playlist and I run. I think, yeah, here we go. And run as fast as all the people who are slightly faster than me. And off you go.
Yeah, same here.
And in terms of fitness, I literally felt going into that gear felt better, felt easier, you know, than the slow run in the heat on a shonky body down the towpath, playing the trick on myself of stepping up, just improved my gait.
Right.
Nothing hurt. I was warmed up aerobically from running there, you know. Just felt really solid.
Yeah, they're such good things, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're such fun.
I got very
such
nicely
community.
Paced by a stranger as well. Guy overtook
paced
me.
Paced by a stranger.
Paced by a stranger. In Beeston Park Run.
I'm being paced by a stranger.
Paced by a stranger.
Beautiful stranger.
Hope he's having fun. Yeah, this guy overtook me very early on, but didn't get much in front of me.
Right.
So I noodled along behind him, thinking, yeah, this guy's going great. And I'll just try and stay with him. He's got a good pace.
Right.
And then as we got turned right into the sunniest, dustiest bit, maybe I'm going a bit faster. And I overtook him. Next kind
and
of...
And then he was being paced by a stranger.
Paced by a stranger. And then I could feel him right behind me.
Right.
I was like, oh, okay. I don't want to race here, but, you know, I don't want to capitulate. I'll just keep going the way I'm going.
Yeah.
So I was still essentially being He's my strange. And then he came to slip past me. I'm like, fair enough. I'm probably fading. I bet you're pacing this whole thing better than me. I'm not going to overtake you again. And I said to myself, you hear yourself? Don't overtake him again.
Yeah.
If you really want to overtake him, you have to overtake him at the end. Use it to get that finish you want.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I followed him, working really hard not to overtake him, i.e. right behind him, probably really putting the pressure on. Sorry, mate, but I didn't overtake him. And then you kind of fall down into that group. There's me, this tall guy with a blue t-shirt a bit further on.
Yeah.
This guy had been within a few feet off for the whole run, in a red top just in front of me. And this woman, in the same, just strung out in the same sort of four of us. And as he came towards the finish line, I thought, well, I bet I can overtake my mate now. But I just got to mean it, you know, if I get past him.
Decisive.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
So I overtook him. And I wouldn't have been a massive turn of speed. I haven't got one.
Yeah.
But whatever turn of speed I had, I've used.
Nice.
And I knew that we were only about half a K from the finish line. And I made it feel more impersonal and reliable by overtaking not only my nearby friend, but this guy, this tall guy in the blue. But I couldn't catch up with the
woman. Right.
So I overtook two people.
Nice.
And kind of moved up the...
Nice feeling.
Bit. And then I thought, hold here, because that guy's going to want to overtake you back. And then the tall guy in blue, he sailed fast.
Right.
He overtook the woman and finished a kilometre ahead of all four of us.
Yeah.
And it was so kind of Goldilocks. He had his giant sprint finish, not a chance for anyone.
Yeah.
The woman was just running. I mean, he's the only interaction he had with any of us at any point was him coming past. And then there's me and this guy. And of course, when I finished, he was right behind me.
Right.
I would love to have shaken his hand and said, thanks for that beautifully paced. I really believe that I wouldn't have done it as quickly as I did without him. But
yeah, it's amazing, isn't
it? He didn't catch my eye. He just walked away. I can only apologise. But maybe he didn't notice, you know. Who knows? And it was a bit of a... In terms of my runs this year, it was a slow one. But in terms of my fitness and the course and the heat and everything, but mainly the steadiness, I was pleased with it.
Nice. That's
for the
nice
first time in a long time. So
nice
that would
way
be,
to start, yeah.
Yeah, that's where I want to be.
Oh, that's good.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.